This is episode 11 of the GQ Style Podcast, and let me tell you something. If you are wearing jeans right now, denim jeans right now, we need you to hit pause, go to your closet, change, or just wherever you are, just take them off, and then hit play again, because this is the pants episode of Corporate Lunch. I'm Editor-in-Chief Will Welch. What's your name, dude?
What up? I'm Noah Johnson, also known as Noah Johnson.
Oh, too cool for his senior editor title.
I'm not even wearing pants right now.
Yeah, me either. I have on long johns, though, with the little butt flap. With the little butt flap.
Easy access.
I mean, I was kind of kidding, but it seems like the days of the tyranny of denim, the tyranny of blue jeans and black jeans and so on is over. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree. The tyranny is over. The tyranny is certainly over.
They've just sort of set, it's not that you actually have to take off your jeans or that jeans are uncool or anything like that. It's just that they've settled back in to the more appropriate role of one of many leg covering options in the morning.
There was a time when it was jeans every day.
All day, every day.
Agreed. Every day. The more hours you could log in your jeans, the better. That was the goal. Yeah. I would wake up like, oh, fuck, I got to get my jeans on.
I got to hurry and get these jeans on.
You can't sleep in them.
And you definitely have to clean them by going into the ocean in them.
Yeah, I store them in the freezer overnight.
Yep.
And then for the annual wash, I go to the Arctic shores of the furthest reaches of Siberia.
And you wade in.
And I wade in.
Yeah, and then pee in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Classic, you know, the ammonia in the urine is one important cleaning method.
I mean, you need to preserve the indigo and the fibers while allowing the fades to emerge in their best possible, you know, the finest patina you can get on there.
I once complained that I'd washed my jeans and they were a little stiff and tight, and my friend was like, "What?" And I was like, "What?" And he's like, "You washed your jeans?" Like, man, come on, you don't actually swim in those things, do you?
I mean,
those were the heady days of menswearedom.
It was a thing. We've gone there before too. I would definitely credit like my first pair of APGs for like that was for sure an entry point. Yeah.
Yep.
That was the thing that really happened.
Okay, but now Noah, you're a soft goods legend and a man of many pants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That feels true.
Yeah.
Just the way it felt when it rolled off the tongue. It just seemed true. You're a soft goods legend and a man of many pants.
Yeah.
And what else is out there right now that's interesting? Like, if I'm kind of, you know, feeling a little bit basic and overly denimed out, where do I go?
Well, can we just, here's what's going on with pants right now. I think we need to get there, but first.
Classic backing it up.
Yeah, come on. Let's zoom out here.
All right, zoom out.
Let's set the scene.
If this were Silicon Valley, they're like, whoa, you just went to 2,000 feet. We got to go back up to 30,000.
Remember there was a time, for instance, your whole life where you would encounter a new person or just observe a person and you'd look at their shoes and that told you everything you needed to know about them?
That's how hookers price price out their johns.
Yeah.
It's true.
Similarly how I price out my johns.
No, but that's like the famous... The famous thing for the world's oldest profession is you can tell how much money a man has by his shoes.
Yeah. I think that's probably still true.
Yeah.
What's more true or what is more current is the pants. Pants tell you everything about where a dude is at with his whole sort of style, his whole stance on style.
On the stylishness arc.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like how into fashion this particular dude is and like what angle he is approaching it from. What's the culture that's informing his decisions here?
But why is that?
Well, I think that there was a thing that happened where everyone was wearing jeans pants.
Yeah.
And then there was also like a good selection of like slim fitting chinos around that time. And everything had the same sort of slim or skinny fit. You know, like I think like the Dior jeans that Dior Homme jeans that Eddie Slimane designed. They came in like two widths, like there was a 19 centimeter and like a 21 centimeter or whatever.
Just something like that.
Those two, I don't know the specifics, but I'm pretty sure it was 19 centimeters and 21
centimeters. Let's just ballpark it at that.
Those were the hem widths. I feel like everyone started to want their pants to fit exactly the way those jeans fit. And yeah. that lasted for like years, and things were really skinny and they were either denim or like some color of chino. And then they were like suit pants or whatever. And like really wild people would have like a slim cargo pant.
Maybe. It started to change towards the end there, but that basically lasted through his tenure at Saint Laurent.
Yeah.
Still right. just skinny black jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that just became, you know, there was like every action has an equal and opposite reaction. I think that kind of the tyranny of that lasted long enough. And I think obviously like the Dior Homme thing was at like the high end of the fashion spectrum. But I think there was one that was like very familiar. That was at J. Crew.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, there was a similar thing there. So,
you know, from a very different world started to change up the skinny jeans and even the like straighter APC jeans. Like, there was definitely a movement happening in more, like, fashion brands and indie fashion brands. But there was also, you remember the hilarious Kanye jogging pant moment?
Of course, yeah.
So, like, from a streetwear slash high fashion vibe, there came the, like, the jogging pant. And those had the elastic cuffs at the bottom, yeah. which really showed off your sneaks.
Yeah.
That seemed like an early push away from the jeans, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I think, like, along with that came, there's only been like increasing awareness of like what runway fashion is doing and what like the higher fashion designers are doing. Like, that's only become more and more a part of like, I guess, everyday or more like,
or like pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, if you follow that stuff, what you're seeing is all different types of pants, wide pants, pleated
yep.
pants.
Yep.
You know, like, All variations of like different crops and widths and stuff, like
elastic waistbands
yeah.
in a non-ironic capacity.
Yeah.
So I agree. Pants started widening, pleats, which were like, I remember in my, you know, I started GQ in 2007. For years, we were basically like, if you're wearing pleated pants or square toes, you need to burn not just your whole closet, just burn your whole house
yeah,
down.
Yeah, because they would
start
have
over.
You only would have had them because they would have been like left over from the 80s or something.
Yeah, you need to like erase your identity and start over.
Yeah.
But now all of those, all of the severe don'ts have come back in like cool form.
Yeah.
And now it feels like corduroys this season, huge thing.
Yeah.
I'm wearing some right now.
Yeah.
I'm wearing wide corduroys with a break today.
Let's go.
This is not about me. It's not about me. I'm just saying I'm wearing wide corduroys with a break. Trousers worn not with a suit.
Yeah.
So like, you know, like a suit pant type thing just worn, you know, broken up.
And I think suit trousers meant to be worn with suits that aren't just like, you know, flat front or creased.
Flat front, skinny.
Skinny, no break trousers.
Should stop at your ankles.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, all the other stuff that's in there, like we talked about the elastic waistband, the elastic cuffs, the sort of like carrot shaped.
Yeah.
All the drop crotchy stuff
yeah.
was in the mix.
Higher rise.
Is in the mix. And then like, you know, velvets and all kinds of different fabrics. So
yeah.
The higher rise thing is a good one. All right, so Sam Hein Productions mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago took me Stofa, the New York brand Stofa opened a pop-up store on, is it on Crosby, Sam? On Elizabeth Street.
And they're doing all made to measure, right?
It's
basically?
It's all made to measure. So yeah. you go in there and you get fitted, and then, I don't know, like 3 weeks or a month later, your made to measure jacket or pants show up.
Yeah.
And Agesh, who's the founder of Stofa and the designer, was talking to me about where these, and these are like trousers.
Yeah. It's sort of like gentlemanly stuff, but it's like cool.
Yeah. It's kind of modern. It feels really fresh.
Yeah.
He was talking, I was like, I've been wearing higher rise trousers and I've been wearing some pleats, but I'm trying to figure out, especially because I'm super tall, I'm
yeah.
trying to figure out like where exactly they should hit on my waist and all that
uh-huh.
stuff. And he had a very good point, which is it should go just above your hip bone on your natural waist
uh-huh.
and that it's way more comfortable.
Yeah.
Obviously all of this stuff, I'm never, if somebody's like, oh, what's actually,
here's the rule.
Here's the secret rule that nobody knows. Like, I'm never buying that hook, line, and sinker. It all has to also have a style component.
Yeah.
But what he was saying was just seemed practically true, which is that if you get the waistline off your hip bone, you just move easier.
Yeah.
Like I've got lower rise jeans and higher rise jeans, and they're all on my actual hip.
Yeah.
And it does limit your movement a little bit. Now, I don't give enough of a shit to not wear them because of that. But what he was saying made sense.
But for most people, that would feel extremely high, I think.
Yeah, and it did for me for a minute.
Yeah, and then you adjust.
Yeah, like when I went to Aero 55 in Milan and got this suit made, and it's from an old vintage fabric that weighs like 1,000. The suit probably weighs like 15 pounds. And it's cut like some old, it's like an old man cut with high-rise pants. They have like 6 buttons, yeah. You know, at the waist. Yeah,
you got waist straps on there.
All kinds of straps.
Love that.
Super high-waisted. Pleated.
Yeah.
And I had to like really find my, I had to like get used to that in a major way. Now I'm fully on board. I don't wear high-waisted pants every day, but a couple days a week, and it doesn't feel crazy.
Here's the thing about pants. Most people, all of their pants are the same, fit the same.
Yeah.
They don't have like a wide pant and a skinny pant and an in-between pant and a high-waist pant and a low-waist pant. They're like, I like my pants to fit like this, and then I get this in different colors and fabrics.
Yeah.
That like feel like they're for different occasions.
And what do you think about that?
I think pants are where people are the least, for a long period of time, where they're the least likely to take a risk.
Yep.
Where they feel the most insecure.
Yep.
About being exposed as either unattractive or phony.
Or just kind of funny looking.
Yeah, or just kind of like, that ain't right.
Where is that man's navel?
Yeah. And I think that pants are directly associated, I started to say this earlier, but I think they're directly associated with like a culture, you know? A culture that's like a corporate type of culture that like says something about what your job is. You know, you're out there on your corporate lunch, taking a little break, and you're strolling through the mall, the corporate lunch mall, and someone's going to eye you up and down and notice your slacks, and they might pin you as a Goldman Sachs guy.
Right.
Because the way your slacks are swooshing around and you got your golf vest on.
In fact, Noah Johnson might pin you as a Goldman Sachs guy.
But I think similarly, like when I always talk about my youth as a young skateboarder in upstate New York, and there was nothing more important than pants. I mean, sneakers were important, but like how wide and how cut off your blind jeans were was crucial.
And it feels like, because that was not really, I mean, that was a little bit of part of style for me growing up, but not heavy. But now it seems like we're at a moment where that's heavy.
Yeah.
Like you got to be showing some ability to experiment with your pantaloons these days.
Definitely. You go to... And, you know, you could say the same thing about punks, you know, how tight and how black and how torn up their jeans were was important. You know,
definitely.
I think that, you know, there's an era in hip-hop where, like, how many NBA patches you had on your jeans said a lot about how cool you were in the streets.
Yep.
Now,
and you remember more recently when rapper Kid Cudi especially kind of kicked it off, started wearing skinny jeans, they were just getting, like... You are like old grumpy rap dudes are like, this is not hip hop. The culture is over. Like, really? Because of the cut of that dude's Levi's?
Yeah.
You are bugging.
Yeah, that's
But it's serious to people.
It is, yeah. Definitely. And people notice this shit. My dad comes over, and if I'm wearing pleated pants, he'll stop. He'll like, give me a once over and be like,
he'll do like the windshield eyes thing.
Are those pleats? Pleats are cool again? But the remarkable thing is that he noticed, because this is, you know, It's a thing for a long time they weren't necessarily talking points. Now you go to men's fashion week and go stand around outside of the show and watch who the photographers are taking pictures of, and every single one of those dudes, their pants all look different.
Tons of different silhouettes.
You're not gonna come away from that being like, everybody's
consensus.
Pants fit like this now.
Yeah. But are you? I think I am. Are you endorsing a range? Guys to get into playing with a range of different fits and styles and cuts of pants.
Yeah, I think so, but it's super hard to go back and forth.
It is, but I think that
But I think it's possible.
That's kind of where
Not
I'm
possible.
At. That's kind of where I'm at. It's like, you know, we all have our specific body types, and I for a while there where there was more consensus on how your pants should fit. I just had that I had it dialed.
Yeah.
No, there was no possibility I was going to walk out of the door and be like, "Man, I feel super awkward today."
Yeah.
Because everything fit the same and it was great. I could take any pair of pants in the world to my tailor and be like, give me the me thing.
Yeah. That's,
and he would just do it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's where there are guys that are like, you know, they could actually quote the centimeters of their hymns.
Yeah.
And that's just how they cut everything. And now I feel like there's more fits out there that are cool. It's cool to get involved with them, but it is a bit of a tricky landscape. And there are some days where I put on like some high-waisted trousers and I'm like, man, I kind of don't have the confidence.
Too far out there.
I just like they were cool yesterday.
Yeah.
And I pulled them on again today and I just, I don't really have
it. That's the thing. That's the thing with everything. That's a good thing to just keep in mind. Don't be too hard on yourself in those moments too.
Yeah, just change.
Sometimes just put that shit down and put on the other one.
Just change. Next Tuesday, it's gonna be great.
The thing I think you don't want to be, consistency is everything. And you can't, I mean, so many people pull off, like, we work with this guy, John Teets. He wears sometimes some super skinny pants still.
Yeah.
And always looks cool as hell.
Yeah. You don't have to be like, those are dead to me.
But there is another thing where you might be out somewhere walking around, you know, quietly judging people for their pants.
Some call it people watching.
And
we call it quietly judging people for their pants.
But there is that thing where you'll see the dude in like the really skinny gray jeans and you're a little bit like, dog, those are 7 years old now. And you got them at Urban Outfitters when that trend was really kind of popping.
And like, ow.
Yeah. They ain't comfortable.
That just looks, ugh.
And like that moment kind of passed. So like it's time to retire those and get comfortable. But see that dude, and this is the thing, that dude, he's like, it took him a long time to get into those.
And he's like, now you're backing me out of
them? And now he doesn't want to get out of them.
Yeah. But
and that happens.
I don't know that corporate lunch is for him. You know what I'm saying?
That's true. But I hope we can bring him into the fold here and we can get him to just, you know, stop by the Rick Owens boutique maybe downtown.
I don't know if the pants episode is for him. We might be able to get him in on the shirts episode. Or maybe the earrings episode, which I haven't told you yet, but we're planning that.
The pants episode is for advanced listeners only. Look, this is episode 11. We're here today.
Yeah, it's not episode 4.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've grown here. We've arrived here together.
Yeah.
You know?
I feel that we as a community are ready for today.
Absolutely.
Noah, can you take me through, just pick a few pairs of pants that you've been rocking recently. Give me the brand. And give me like a quick description of the cut and fit.
This is an interesting. I am a man of many pants. That's not an exaggeration. I have a
it's
lot.
It's true.
And
they fit differently and stuff. And you
a
got
lot.
Different moves.
Sam,
one day well, actually, Sam has almost as many pant moves as Noah. Anyway, go ahead.
Sam has the body of a god.
The body of a fashion. The body of a fashion. A god fit model god.
Look. I don't. So, but here's the thing. But I'm just the type of person in generally, I would rather like kind of take a risk, try something new, get comfortable with something different than like just be in front of mirror and worry about what's going to make me look awesome. You know what I mean?
Or just phoning it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I want to look awesome, but I also just like, I'm like, oh man, these like weird wide wheel. I got,
For me, experimenting like this is like difficult and way outside of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But I've been doing it anyway. Anyway, go ahead.
I got Engineered Garments / Nepenthes, New York, has a brand called Rough and Tumble.
Okay.
And it started as like a shirt line, but now they have pants and all this stuff. So I just got a pair of like super wide whale. I don't know the measurement of the whale, but there's probably some like millimeter measurement that would really paint the picture.
Yeah.
Wide whale, navy blue. Sort of cropped, sort of long crotched. They're called studio pants. They have like one pocket in the back, two pockets in the front, kind of like a trouser. They have an elastic waistband.
They're not like drop crotch as an idea.
No.
They just have a low crotch.
Yeah, there's just like room on top.
There's room, yeah.
And they do have some small pleats. They're super interesting. They're kind of unique.
They also sound very chill.
Super chill, super relaxed.
Are these the ones that have the pocket on the left side?
No.
Somebody, maybe it was Mark Anthony Green, told me he had a pair of pants. They only have one pocket.
On the left?
Oh, it's a Needles. It's a Needles track pants. And the pocket is on the left.
That's extremely disorienting.
He always thinks he lost his wallet.
I feel like that would make me fall down.
You just get dizzy.
Reached back. Yeah, I would get some crazy vertigo.
What are you wearing today?
Today I'm wearing a pair of jeans.
Sam, can you take over?
I'm wearing dark.
Stop
like,
talking, dude.
Come on.
Stop talking.
They're dope, though.
You're done. Nah. You're dead to me.
Dude, my pants I just bought a pair of Carhartt work pants at a hardware store on Manhattan Ave in Greenpoint that I'm really happy with. They're not the double knee ones, but they are like a heavy canvas one. And I get, my thing is you just get the shortest inseam you can find and then a bigger waist, shrink them down, get them even shorter. And then you get kind of like a cropped fashion-y look out of your Carhartts.
With no tailoring.
Yeah, no tailoring
Slow that down.
Yeah.
You get the shortest inseam you can find.
Yeah, which is often 30, which isn't all that short, but 28 inseam would be like what you really want.
So you go up a size or two in the waist
and
go down as far as you can in the inseam and then you get kind of like a fashion carrot kind of carrot vibe.
Yeah. I like just.
And then do you have to cinch them at the waist or the belt?
Yeah, a little bit, not too much.
Yeah,
but there's, I like a wide cropped pant. That's kind of like the main thing I'm going for, with some lots of room for variation in between. I like the model that Evan Canori does, who we've talked about, friend of the pod, fashion designer in San Francisco. He makes pants in like three size. I don't know. He makes pants in a range of sizes, and it's like if you're like. You don't buy them based on what size your waist is. You buy them based on how you want them to fit. This is like his advice. He's like, you can go smaller. They'll fit. They'll stretch and they'll fit you and they'll be slim. Or just like go with the real big ones, cinch them up in the waist and you get a wide fit and it looks cool.
Right.
This is like, that's super basic, but it's like, it felt like novel advice the first time I heard him say it. Because it's like, he's like, don't just like put them on and then see which one fits around your waist properly.
It's almost like size as silhouette.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm wearing Evan Canori cords today, and I asked him to let them out a bit. Let them out as much as he could because I wanted a break, which is not necessarily how he doesn't show them, like, all his lookbooks and stuff.
Yeah.
They're rolled at the ankle. But do you – obviously, when you're buying super short inseams, you're not going for a break. Have you been wearing a break at all?
Not really. Almost never.
Almost never.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I kind of think of that as, like, skater thing.
Yeah.
Long – but not in 2017, I guess.
No, 2017 is heavily the year of high waters in skateboarding.
Yeah.
Dickie's high waters is like absolutely the move.
The move.
Yeah. And they get like real high.
And then what's the deal with Dickie's versus Carhartt?
That's a good question. I mean, Dickie's is definitely the go-to. Dickie's have sort of a funny fit. Dickie's are one you might want to get tailored. Like you really actually figure out the thing you want and then bring them in and get it done.
Right.
Because it is one where you might want to like size way up.
And you might spend
for some reason, and then have them fitted.
And it might cost you like another 30% of the tag price.
Yeah, but you're still like under $100.
Yeah.
Carhartt's just way more rugged. I always get a pair of Carhartt for winter skate adventure, and then more Dickies in the summer.
Can you do a winter skate adventure with Noah Johnson?
I mean, I skate all winter outdoors and shit. So I definitely am like getting my heavy duck pants up.
All right.
For that.
Man, one thing I've been noticing is, you know, every decision you make about pants, especially the bottom of your pants, is also inevitably becomes a footwear decision.
Yeah, it's true. Which kind of brings us back to where we started. It's like, well, you know, you can tell everything you need to know about someone by their shoes, and then, like, it became pants, but maybe it's all just, like...
it's really just all shoes.
The connection, yeah.
I feel like... you got to be careful. Like the boots that I wear almost every day don't work the same. Like with these pants that have a break, for instance, for those to work, you want like a little bit of high rise that shows their boots and they don't touch the top of the boots.
Yeah.
So today I had to pull out some desert boots, which have a little bit better of an interface at the place where the pants hit.
There's like the nice.
I find it true. I find it's really easy to choose your shoes if your pants stop at your ankles. If your pants and your shoes actually touch, you got to get more involved. You're going to have to make a decision. And I don't totally have it figured out, but I know it when I see it. So sometimes I just got to change shoes.
I just compulsively just do one cuff at the bottom of my pants pretty much no matter what.
Maybe I'll take that to heart. I'll see what I can do.
You don't even have that much. No, there isn't that much fabric in the world for you to be out here cuffing all your pants.
There's not.
I've been waiting since episode one for episode 11 so we could talk about pants.
Yeah. This was all really just a wind up to the pants episode. What about pleats, man? We've mentioned pleats, but how does a dude need to think about pleats right now?
I don't even know. I just got the craziest pair of pants. One of the craziest pairs of pants yet, maybe in my whole arsenal, and they're Dickies that I got from a Japanese brand called Vinyl Archive that you know, no, you'll never be able to find them.
Sounds like a proxy. Sounds like a proxy service thing.
Yeah, it was. And they're basically a pair of black Dickies that were probably like huge and were recut up, and they have a double pleat, and it's like that, it seems extreme, but
that these people put into a pair of Dickies.
Yeah, I believe so.
Advanced.
But it kind of works. It's super weird. It makes them extremely big on top. Like, so here's what I think you should realize about pleats is, like, I like the way they look. I like the way a single pleat looks because I like a crease.
Yeah.
Like a.
It's like a crease that starts at the top.
Good, like, you know, like.
Crispy crease.
Dr. Dre ironing his Dickies type of crease. Yeah. He used to do that, right?
I think so.
But so a pleat often gives you like.
I feel like Defiant Ones would have spoke to us more as a documentary if they did a whole section. If there were four sections, it was like, you know, the early days of NWA, and then the second section there was like a, you know, intermission, and then the second section was like ironing Dickies,
yeah,
and other important moves of the Compton era,
definitely.
And then we got into like, you know, Snoop Dogg, and then eventually into like Beats by Dre.
They got good pants, those guys. Every one of them.
Really, yeah.
Strong.
It's just something for them to think about as far as like maybe a reissue.
All right. Pleats are super controversial, but are they? I don't know. I don't know, man. Here's I don't even know anymore. I'm so far out there. I'm like, are there people who aren't rocking pleats right now?
Noah has lost all relationship to pants gravity. He's just floating out there in the great beyond.
It's a good place to be, though. Let me tell you, once you freed yourself from all like preconceived notions about pants, you're just gonna,
all the tyranny.
Yeah.
I think here's a good litmus test. Would you buy a suit with pleats? Because that's just a different level of commitment. Like, it's one thing to like get your proxy service to dial you up some double pleated Dickies or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But if are you gonna commit to investing in a suit that has pleats in it? I have done it, and I'm like. I'm pretty basic when it comes to all this stuff.
You're talking about something like maybe that navy blue linen Brunello Cucinelli suit I have hanging in my closet right now with pleated pants?
I guess so. So you're in. Sam, you got a suit with pleated pants?
Yeah, you do.
No. Whoa. Did not expect that from Sam Hine. But he is wearing pleats right now. Okay, cool.
But the thing is, so all right, yeah, I do have a suit with pleated pants.
I just want to point out that Sam right now has his feet up on the desk, is producing the podcast, seems to be getting some social media activating, and is probably talking to some
shorties.
Shorties.
He's just texting shorties right now.
The man is a machine. The machine is a man.
The thing about pants is just to, like, you know, wear them and enjoy them. And if you're over them at some point, just stop wearing them.
Keep moving.
You know, you don't want to be investing lots of money on fashions that you're just
never going to wear. Yeah.
You know, are going to get played out. But at the same time, like, if you want a suit with pleated pants because you're feeling it and it's fresh, go for it. If you're sweating whether or not you're going to want to wear it in another year or two, then I don't know. Maybe you're just too uptight to be out there in pleats.
Yeah, maybe you have too basic of a relationship to pant gravity, and you just got to let go a little bit. The takeaway for me is free your mind, and your pants will follow.
Yeah, I think now is the time to wear the pants that you want to wear and not the pants that society, you know, imposes on you.
Absolutely, yeah. Pant resistance. And seriously, if you're still in like really skinny pants and jeans that and you just are feel like you have been dying to just set yourself free and like get some junk space built in,
yeah.
Just do it, man.
Yeah.
Just do it. Now's the time.
Yeah, I do have an agenda here, and that my agenda really is to just take that whole movement down, to stop it. Stop the skinny pants, really.
Are you endorsing the violent overthrow of the the pants party?
Yeah.
The tight pants party.
Let's go. Let's vibe out.
13 Vibes, let's get into it. Sam, cue up Heidi, man. 13 Vibes. I'm not afraid to start off 13 Vibes this episode.
Please do.
All right, I was just in Los Angeles. We had a really smoking party at the Harvey House.
What up?
Shout out to Kelly Lynch and Mitch Glazer, the owners of the John Lautner Harvey House. Just an incredible, incredible spot where we threw a party for our Amazing Spaces series. But I was out in L.A. for 4 days as a result of that party, which means I went to RTH 3 different times. It's true. I went to RTH 3 different times. And it just reminded me that actually, this is the first time I ever were like fully committed to this. Just like I was, have always been that dude who was like, I might be wearing something that smells a little bit good, mm-hmm. but nobody is ever going to notice it except for me and maybe my wife.
Yeah.
I'm moving on from that.
Okay. You're
I'm into strong smells.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm into strong smells right now. And if like you get on the elevator and people are like, damn, that dude smells like aggressively good. That's all right. That's all right. So RTH3 is a new little tonic-y ointment smell good situation by Renee Holguin.
Oh.
And you put one drop. I don't know what you do, but what I do is I put one drop into the jojoba oil that I would apply to myself when I get out of the shower anyway.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly I smell a little aggressive, but really good.
Like what? Like Palo Santo?
Yeah, a little Palo Santo, probably a little cedar, probably some like creosote. Who knows what Renee's got in there?
The Sense episode of Corporate Lunch is definitely
coming very soon.
On the horizon.
Coming very soon. We're going to have to figure out how to like, never mind. What do you got?
I'm going to throw in a pants vibe, a specific pants thing that we didn't get to that I really like. It's a little too specific even for the general discussion. I like pants that have a self belt.
Built-in belt?
Yeah.
All right.
Self is industry speak for fabric that's same as other fabric.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, self means like
I like it when I learn something at Corporate Lunch.
If you have like a self liner, it means the liner is the same as the main fabric. So a self belt means a pant with a built-in belt, and the belt is made of the same fabric as the pant.
Right. What's the fabric? What's the fabric? It's like the fabric self.
Chino.
Yeah.
It's itself. Anyway, La Mer does a really good one. Like it a lot. Margaret Howell does a really good one. Like it a lot. There were a lot of them on like spring runways. Prada does it. I'm eyeing the La Mer ones, but it's like a pretty dope. Like you get like a nice like steel gray pant with a steel gray built-in belt of the same fabric.
Self belt.
And the belt's all long and it kind of droops down, you know, hangs down a little bit, looks cool.
Amazing.
Self belts. It's kind of like self-help, but belt.
My second vibe, third of the episode, Complex Con.
What up? Complex Con.
Complex Con. Okay, so I didn't make it to the exhibition floor where all the people had the limited edition stuff and all the kids were going crazy.
Yeah.
But I did get to the Pharrell NERD performance at Complex Con.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically like a really elaborate listening session for the new NERD album.
Yeah.
With, I don't know, maybe like 35 dancers, Pharrell, Chad, and Sway on top of a minivan. It was going off. And I was just like, you know what? Complex Con seems cool, man. Complex Con seems cool. It's like fully embodied. You know what I mean? It was like there were limited edition Nikes, Virgil. I saw him on Instagram, like hand screen printing stuff.
Yeah.
Like Jerry Lorenzo, Kobe Bryant, Andre 3000. Just like all of the John Elliott, all the key players of the sort of like elevated streetwear thing. Were all in the mix.
Yeah.
There were some legends in the mix. And then they had NERD play, and NERD is like the ultimate. They had NERD reveal a new album.
Yeah.
And NERD, they're like, you know, Pharrell basically like invented that stuff.
Yeah, they started that movement.
When he showed up in the Brain logo trucker hat.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this is exactly what it wants to be.
Yeah.
It's like a self belt.
It is a self-belt.
NERD performing at Complex Con was the self-belt of Complex Con. It was amazing. I had a great time. Can I roll that into another vibe?
Yeah.
I also learned and caught an extreme vibe from Meta Tauli, who's the girl who dances in Lemon.
Okay.
The new NERD song. Yeah. If you haven't seen that video.
I've heard the song.
Have you seen the video?
No.
Yeah, you got to see the video. It starts off with Rihanna shaving.
Yeah.
I think you pronounce it Meta. I don't know how to pronounce it. Mette. It starts off with Rihanna shaving her head, and then she proceeds to dance to those incredible drums.
Yeah.
That's what the video is. That's all it is. No Pharrell appearance.
I can't wait to watch this.
Definitely no Chad Hugo appearance. But so she's the lead dancer. She was the lead dancer for this whole playback of the new album, and she's a star. She's just awesome. So that's a double vibe, Complex Con into Meta Tauli. You can take two, you can take four, you can just do one and throw it back. It's whatever you need from here. We're really going where there is no vibe counter.
I love to dance personally. It's not like a. I don't get to do it as much as I would like to.
I want Sam to shave your head, and then you have to dance for 3.5 minutes for a GQ style video.
Let's recreate that video. I'm down with all that. Except
if you could shake your shit like she can, man.
I'm not shaving my head.
You will be an internet.
It's winter. Days are getting shorter. Sadness is getting deeper. But I'm looking forward to snowboarding. It's cold here today. I'm big into board sports. I'm big into extreme sports. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I love to snowboard. I've been doing it my whole life. Once upon a time, I was very committed to it.
Wait, I have a question. Is there potential shame in admitting you like snowboarding? Is skiing the thing again?
Snowboarding is a little bit X Gamesy these days, I think.
Especially over the age of like 30.
Maybe, yeah. I think it's a little bit of... I mean, look, nothing beats just carving down some freshly groomed corduroy or just nipples deep in some, you know, Northwestern powder, champagne powder. I don't know. But what I'm saying is I love snowboarding and it's fun, but that it can be a little corny.
Yeah, I can see that. I feel that in my heart, actually.
But I'm going to do it every winter. You know, you live in New York, it's hard to get out there. It's a lot of gear. It's a lot of money. It's all this stuff. It's a pain in the ass. And then winter goes by and you didn't get out there and shred and you regret it. I'm saying this now and here because I'm going to shred this winter. I'm making that promise to myself, to you, and to all the friends of the pod.
I'm a skier, personally.
We could still get out there together.
Let's do it. Soulful, a soulful downhill experience.
Yeah.
I am going with the artist Friedrich Kunath.
What up?
Just had a show at Blum & Poe, and he has a feature in the holiday issue of GQ Style. That's the one that's out now. That's the one with A$AP Rocky on the cover. That's the one with the Andre 3000 interview in it.
Gotta get it.
That's the one with the Willem Dafoe photos in it.
Gotta get
that's
it.
That's the one. But so, Friedrich, here's the thing. Sometimes people are like, hey, yeah, it seems like you know some stuff about the art world, but I find the art world really closed and intimidating, and I just don't have any entry points, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I completely respect and understand that perspective, but at the same time, my words are always, there is no such thing as the art world. The art world is a like loose confederacy of people. It's a made-up thing.
Yeah.
All you have to do to be in the art world is show up to galleries or even easier, Google image Friedrich Kunath. If you like what you find, and I guarantee you will like what you find, hit print, find a printer, print it out, and tape the shit to your wall. We tape shit to the walls at GQ Style all the time.
Yeah, that's true.
All you got to do, man, if it seems interesting to you, if it seems compelling, if it seems inspiring, if it seems aspirational for you to be in the art world, all you got to do is participate.
Just hit print.
Friedrich Kunath, K-U-N-A-T-H. Just run a Google image search. Go to the Blum & Poe website. Do whatever you want. It's out there.
Next vibe. I just had a confounding conversation with a GQ.com style writer who I won't name because I'm not even sure I can ever say his name again after this. He told me... he told me that he thinks vests are overrated and not functional and pointless. And I was just incensed. I love vests. I own a lot of vests, winter vests, down vests, fleece vests. And I just bought an incredible... I feel like I talk about buying shit and people must think I'm just like, maybe I do compulsively buy things, but I don't really buy things as much.
I think most corporate lunch listeners and their credit cards are out there.
All right, so I don't need to just defend myself.
No, you're good.
I just got this current season Engineer Garments reversible vest. It's like a ripstop cotton on one side and kind of some fake fur shit on the other side. I was super happy about it. And then this dude says vests are overrated. So I just feel like I got to get out here. And this vibe is vests, which are good. and
they matter and they're important
and
they're
matter
valid.
Yeah, and they're valid, and I never had any doubts about this, but suddenly I'm thinking that maybe people do.
Noah, if you can hear me through the cloud of anger, I want you to know that I think your love for vests is valid and it's okay.
Thank you.
I'm with you on
that's
this.
All I needed to hear.
Yeah. I had sort of a game-changing watch experience, pretty basic but totally game-changing this week.
Mm-hmm.
For the last couple years, I've
had... Are you the guy that bought that Paul Newman watch for $10 million? $100 million? How much was it?
It was $17.5 million.
Okay.
Which is very close to $100
million. That was you?
It was not me.
Oh.
I wear a Tudor Black Bay Dark watch.
It looks good.
I've had it for about 2 years. It has had a leather strap on it. I was on my second leather strap because, you know, I'm a dude, I sweat. It was time to change the strap.
You're out there chopping wood, breaking straps.
Been chopping so much wood. And I switched. I got the black metal bracelet and switched from the leather strap to mm-hmm. the metal bracelet. And it's the same as having a brand new watch.
Wow. Like,
the mornings are exciting.
But this must, it really, yeah, it must feel crazy.
Yeah. It's like heavier. Like, yeah. It feels like if somebody messes with me and I hit them with a left hook, it's going to have a little extra velocity behind it.
Yeah.
And I'm just super down with it. It just like.
It looks gangster.
Yeah. So, and I think there's a broader lesson there where sometimes it's not about a new thing. It's a new move with the familiar thing.
That's the vibe.
Yeah.
New moves with familiar things.
Yeah.
Love that vibe.
Like something A$AP Rocky was doing on set of our cover shoot was changing shoelaces.
Yeah.
Different color shoelace. You know what would really make this outfit dope is if we put in yellow shoelaces.
Wow.
And I was like, that never would have crossed my mind.
Yeah.
So switch your watch strap, change your shoelaces.
I like the idea of yellow shoelaces.
Yeah.
Palace is a brand that a lot of people like. Cool skate brand from London. I'm a fan. They dropped a new video this week. It's called Palasonic. Full-length skate video.
Blondie?
Blondie McCoy is in it. He has an epic part. Blondie McCoy had the teaser for the video where he, God, I don't remember. He lands a trick and he pushes into traffic into an intersection and is immediately hit by like a van.
Was that a setup or was that real?
I think that was fully legit. Yeah.
It's hilarious. Hilarious only because I follow him on Instagram, so I know that he's still alive.
Yeah, he walked away. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Palace video is dope. Some of my favorite skaters skate for Palace. Chewy Cannon is a London dude who skates incredibly fast. And
question.
Yeah.
Whenever you get into skating, I always have questions.
Yeah, let's go.
So when did those dudes, because Palace is a relatively new brand.
Sort of, yeah.
How new? Ballpark it. You know, we're not fact checking.
5 years.
5 years old. Okay, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, that's relatively new.
Yeah.
Given the coverage of skateboarding that we've been talking about over the course of your life, 5 years is new.
Yeah.
Are these skaters that you're a big fan of, did you already know about them and then they joined the Palace squad, or did you discover them they were already skating for with Palace?
Most of them I already knew about. Like Chewy Cannon's been around for a while. Palace has grown, and I think they probably like make a shit ton of money now and can pay skaters and like hook them up really nicely.
Yeah.
So they've been like recruiting and taking on some really good skaters.
So there are some legends. There are some, like, if not legends, some legendary skaters who were known pre-Palace and are now skating with and for Palace.
Big time.
Got it.
One of them is this dude Lucas Puig, who is like a French guy, and he's one of the all-time greats. He just recently went to Palace.
I'm really happy that at whatever foundational moment in that young man's life, he actually did skateboarding with a skateboard with wheels and didn't just go parkour. Should I start a skateboarding website?
Yes.
Okay,
please.
Cool. If this doesn't work out.
The Palasonic video is dope. Here's the point I want to make about this Palasonic video, other than the skateboarding's epic, the music's good, the filming's rad. Everyone in it is basically wearing head-to-toe Palace the whole time, and they all look awesome.
That's saying something.
So, like, if there's doubts about the gear and, like, who it's for and who's wearing it and how they're wearing it and how it all kind of works, you know, not just, like, the kids you see, like, in line and on Lafayette Street or on Fairfax or whatever, like, the actual dudes out there in the world doing it, this is, like, the proof.
Right.
And they all look super fly. And it's all like anything from just like track pants and rugbies to like, you know, the hoodies and sweats. And the whole kit is just like all looks fresh throughout.
Had there been a bubbling culture of like kind of hating on the Palace gear?
Yeah, I think so. Definitely. I think. Yeah. I mean,
I guess anytime something gets that hot, there's a culture of hating.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, most skaters, you'll find like the idea of, you know, spending more than $25 on a t-shirt, the idea of waiting in line for something, the idea of something just being popular or trendy in culture at large, like any of that stuff is just completely off-putting.
I don't know much about skating, but I know a dope name when I hear one, and Palasonic is, that goes. All right, vibe number 13. Sam Hine Productions actually hit me to this last night. I was about to leave the office, and he was like, A. Savage, the dude from Parquet Courts.
That's right.
The new album rips. I do trust Sam Hinds' taste, but I thought I would see for myself. So last night and this morning, I was shredding the new A Savage. It's called Thawing Dawn, another good name.
Yeah.
Sort of like the new Palasonic album, Thawing Dawn. No, the new A Savage album, Thawing Dawn. It's really good. It's a vibe. And it's tight when a solo dude from a band makes a solo record that feels different, feels yep. distinct from the band work, and yep. like it has a reason to exist. So we're going to take it out with Eyeballs. This is A Savage, album's Thawing Dawn's, the jam is Eyeballs. We will see you. When will we see them?
Next week, episode 12.
I don't measure in vibes, but I can describe the way that I feel without using the word chill. 10 types of tatter, maybe 12, it doesn't matter. I don't count what I can't cope. Shot at and missed, shot at and hit. Please come to New York before you commit to juicing, to jogging, to calling poison foggy, drinking stolen water and paying for it. I respect you for being the cautious type.